Greetings, friends, and welcome to I Think Speech. I am Hazel Archer Ginsburg, and today is Holy Monday. Very powerful day here in the Holy Week. I had made a recording around this theme a couple years ago, and for some reason it came out blank, so I figured I would bring these images alive again for you today. Yeah, this is a powerful day, the moon day, right? We're giving this image of how the Christ uses this grove of fig trees to reveal to the disciples how the hosannas of the previous day, right, on Palm Sunday, were really just an illusion. The last fruits of the old visionary clairvoyance that was given by nature and bound to the body. So the seemingly harsh words that he uses about the fig tree, it always bothered me. So I really tried to understand, what is this? What is that all about? But I'm coming to see that it's really about this challenge to that ancient ecstatic vision. We're here at a momentous decision, you know, is being made right here in the history of humankind. Because on that Holy Monday in Holy Week, Christ rejects a temptation. Had he aligned himself with the ancient clairvoyant forces, he might have found public recognition like Judas wanted. You know, not only would the people have sung Hosanna, they would have crowned him king. But a final pronouncement is made. Yeah, Christ will find no link with the ancient forces. Well, not no link, but he wants to transcend it. He wants to bring in new forces. His sole aim is that humankind should find the way to awakening and freedom, not bound by the old ways, where people were just vessels. So Christ rejects the hosannas of the people, bringing about the reversal in the cries of crucify him, which come on Good Friday. For his mission, you know, it's to show humanity that we must act out of a consciousness that leads to freedom, even if it means tragedy, you know, in that moment, even if it means that you know, in our spiritual blindness, we have to suffer. Maybe that will wake us up. His curse on the fig trees, which were really, you know, those who lived in that grove there, they were the ones who lent him the donkey, right? It's tough love what he's doing here. They're living in this seeming paradise, and yet they're not able to receive the new dispensation. So the Christ is acting in this, from his pure nature of his son being. Because when the sun rises, the moon goes pale, right? So here we are, we're moon day. The moon forces of the old vision must fade away for the new sun to rise on Easter morning. So we know that when we go through Holy Week, we're looking at, you know, it's the seven planets, it's the seven chakras. You know, we started with the old sun on Palm Sunday, and now here we are looking at these ancient moon forces that need to give way. And then, I mean, that's plenty to think about, right? But it goes on. In Matthew, we hear about how Christ appears before the temple, where many pilgrims are feverishly buying, selling, trading, bargaining. All right, the Passover lamb has to be slaughtered. This is a source of big business. for the custom demands that the animals be brought to the temple before they're sacrificed. And Emil Bach gives us this picture of, he calls him Old Annas, the notorious miser of world history, and, you know, tells us that he really knows how to make a profit. He's in this, he found himself this niche here. You know, he's made a vast fortune from this market. You know, he's been a backslapper, a string puller in the corrupt political compromise with the Romans, which is the basis of the temple business. The pilgrims must change their local currency into the official Roman currency. It's a racket, you know. So the temple has become an exchange market. The Roman money men have been admitted to the temple, right? Even though they're agents of the cult of Caesar. You know, I guess they thought it was a compromise because, you know, well, at least we could keep them out of the Holy of Holies. We always try to justify things, don't we? So now Christ comes on the scene and he is there to fulfill the custom of the feast. You know, he's just trying to, you know, do the right thing. But when he sees this ungodly exchange, the fire of his burning takes over. There's no need for him to say anything. You know, he doesn't say much. The people feel this burning in him, and they are immediately seized with panic, terror stricken. They realize the decadence that they've fallen into. The conscious restraint, which was exercised by Christ through those 3 years, is transformed now, and it becomes this intensity of divine and human will combined. And in their hearts, the people know that he has the right to tear down the mask of decadence in the temple. So in Matthew 15, we read, it's 11, whatever, it's 11:15, I think it is, yeah. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the temples of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. We can just see these doves floating up in the air, right? The symbol of the Holy Spirit being released. And would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'?" So that's a quote from the Old Testament. So he's fulfilling a prophecy here. But then he says, "You have made it a den of thieves." So then the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teachings. So these are some thoughts for our Holy Monday. Blessings, dear ones, as we move through this Holy Week, and peace.